Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 509-727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. And don't forget, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel and,
yes,
see John McKay in the flesh over there.
Yes.
John, how's everything been going for you?
Well, let's see. I've traded in the club hat for the high school hat.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
It's getting to be that time of year.
It's getting to be that time of year. But we got to get through the Super Bowl first.
Yeah.
And it looks like, those are very similar colors to, if somebody didn't know what they were talking about, they might think you were rooting for a certain team.
No. Kamiakin High School right here.
Okay,
Kamiakin Softball.
Gotcha. Okay, we'll make sure we get the angle.
I didn't wear my Green Bay watch today.
Okay, perfect. Well, it's been a little crazy around here locally with some weather this last week.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't slowed the real estate market.
No, and it wasn't really enough to create horrific transportation issues.
Correct. Most of it melted off and stuff. And so, yeah, I'm fine with a quick dusting here, and mm-hmm. then we can get the heck out of there. But I tell you what, that real estate market, we had talked about an early spring market, and it sure has felt like it, and we've been getting some serious traction there for sure. Well, John, we're going to jump right into it because we got a lot of good stuff to talk about this
mm-hmm.
week. So last week, for our crazy celebrity house story, we predicted the Super Bowl winner based upon the square footage
of the quarterback's homes.
But I'm not going to let it lie there.
Okay.
Because there's some other. This has been reported on in the news before, but, timing-wise, this is a great time to talk about it again. There's some other amazing real estate stories that go on with the Super Bowl right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay, let's look into the coaches and the owners' square footage and see if we find any differing opinions there. So I got to tell you, what's pretty cool, if you have not seen the tour or the link of it, is that Clark Hunt, owner of Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
Has a home in the stadium.
Ooh.
Has a two-story, 14,000 square foot house in Arrowhead Stadium. Okay, and this probably, when you go back and look at the history of housing with stadiums, this probably would never be repeated again, because you got to look at what happened. So a lot of people are like, okay, how did the Hunts end up with a team in Kansas City? Well, if you go back and look at the family history there, Lamar Hunt,
yes,
Clark's father.
The old AFL.
So John knows the history here. They originally were the Texans, and they were in Texas, and then they moved the team
to Dallas, and they became the Cowboys.
Kansas City.
Oh, okay.
No,
because there was a team that got moved. No, they created Dallas. That's right.
Yeah, but this was the team that got moved to Kansas City. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So then what did Lamar do? Built a stadium back in the day in 72, I think it was, with private money. Arrowhead Stadium. So private money. So he then says, well, you know what? I'm going to be here a lot at the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Why not put my house at the stadium as well?
Yes.
So built a residence into the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It goes right out to, it's like three stories. It goes right out to the owner's box.
Wow.
So talk about not having to go very far to go mm-hmm. to work, to go to the games, and then have a residence there. So that has stayed, and then when ownership changed over,
mm-hmm.
as far as the stadium, not as the team, but when ownership changed over, it's currently under a lease agreement with the entity that has the stadium now.
They call it GEHA or something.
Exactly.
The
and
stadium
that,
name,
that is
right.
Some sort of health association,
yeah,
or hospital
mm-hmm.
association. And so with that, you got to look and see. The reason you don't see this happening now, right, is because most stadiums are funded with taxpayer or public dollars involved.
Yeah, newer ones,
and
yes.
Good luck trying to get a residence for the owner of the team involved in there unless the payment was just absolutely insane.
Yeah.
So if we go ahead and look at square footages of the owners, he's got 14,000 square feet there.
Okay.
Clark Hunton, originally, like you were saying, from that Dallas market, has a home in what's called Highland Park, Texas. Highland Park is just outside. It's like 5 minutes outside of downtown Dallas. My son actually is at Southern Methodist at SMU in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
So it, which is right in Highland Park. And so just for fun and to be absolutely amazed when I go for parents weekends and go to games there, mm-hmm. I will do like my walk or my jog around Highland Park. And so I've actually jogged by Clark Hunt's house there. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely insane. I think I got ran off by security one time when I was down there. But like the houses in this neighborhood are truly next level. So he's got 12,000 square feet there. Priced at potentially market value somewhere between $16 to $18 million. And then Andy Reid's got 9,000 square feet, his house, between a 5,000 square foot place in Kansas City and another 4,000 California home. Now if we go to the other side of the equation and look at Nick Sirianni with the Eagles, he's not slouching, but his home is 8,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, he is at 13,000 square feet. If we're playing the square footage game again,
mm-hmm.
we know who's winning the Super Bowl, McKay. Say it. Say it.
The Chiefs.
Okay. I mean, it's a theory I've got, John, but it's too much for me. It is the square footage heavily favors the Chiefs to win tomorrow. So I'll be back. You know, I'm back here next week and have to answer for these predictions. But I'm excited to see what that looks like. And it was really fun to go through the tours and look at some of these homes and where these owners live. And then just how legacy type things happen to where you have a residence at an actual football stadium. And you see this happen in real estate all the time. Yeah, a lot of things get what are called like grandfathered in clauses, where things that you were able to build in the 50s or 60s, you can't build now. Even here in Tri-Cities, we look at things about, we look at structures that were built, like if you look at structures that were built like right on lot lines, mm-hmm. like maybe in an alley or next to the river or a waterway, now the city has rear lot setbacks where there's things that are built that they allow to stay, but you could never rebuild again. And so mm-hmm. this residence is one of those items for sure. So as I was prepping for the celebrity story, it kind of led me to the topic that we're dealing with today that I wanted to talk about in Tri-Cities. And that is a change that we've seen become more and more popular. And it started, if we look back to the early 2000s, it really started with a advertising concept when you started to see high-end apartment complexes put a sign out front and it famously said live, work, play. Mm-hmm. Like you drive by these and you're like, okay, well, what is that? And I think in development, you really started seeing that in the early 2000s. And they were kind of advertising like, hey, this building or this complex is close to work. It's got a pool. It's got a fitness center.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is close by. Well, the best definition I could find of this concept architecturally is that when you have intentionally built environments that are integrating residential, professional, and recreational spaces designed to be welcoming to all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so this is a concept where you can drive around Tri-Cities right now, and I guarantee you can find like five of these signs.
Mm-hmm.
Half of them, I think, are false advertising. that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. But you are starting to see this concept in a market like Tri-Cities. So before, you would see this in like Seattle or Nashville or Phoenix. And I think a lot of people you know, go on vacation, right? Or you travel and you go to some of these cities. And what's the first thing that people do, like an hour and a half into a vacation that they're having a really good time at? They will look at their spouse and say, gosh, we should move here. You know, and they'll say to each other, like, we should, this is great. We should live here. Probably 50% of the reason is great is that they're not at work. But you always end up saying that. And I'm the worst because I'm in the industry. Like, I'm off the plane and like 5 minutes later, I'm grabbing like real estate brochures and looking around. And so, but now this concept is coming to secondary markets. And with Tri-Cities being like a secondary market, this is why you see people advertising this live, work, play concept. And mm-hmm. so a great example of this that I can give, I was driving around this weekend. And so off of Union and 24th, a couple colleagues and buddies that I know, they built a development out there called The Falls. And it's I think it's five stories. It's like a five-story apartment complex, and it's kind of behind the Synergy Center and Costa Vida and back over there. And so it's really interesting because in this concept, on the lower level, they have commercial spaces. Okay, so they have different types, you know, one-bedroom studios, three bedrooms, but then they have commercial spaces on the main level. And then it's located in a spot that has access to parks and you've got the Kennewick Library over there. And so when you look at this live, work, play concept, I mean, let me like paint a picture for you. Like if somebody was filming a commercial for this, you roll out of bed in the morning, you go downstairs, there's a yoga studio in the commercial space at the bottom of your, you take a yoga class, you leave that class, you grab a cup of coffee,
mm-hmm.
you have coffee there at a coffee shop that's within right by your building. You take a quick stroll across the street, you go over to the library, mm-hmm. you know, you read a book, you do some remote work.
I've seen a number of these over on the west side.
Exactly. Well, they're here in Tri-Cities now, and there's more proposed. And so the big thing about that, and then you take your dog for a walk at the park over there, mm-hmm. and you haven't had to step foot inside your car.
Yeah.
You know, that's the concept, and that's the commercial. And it's not a bad gig. And when you look around Tri-Cities, you've had different builders start to kind of take this to the next level. The next thing that comes to mind is like Polish Homes, for instance. The last couple communities that Polish have done, they've put big community centers and larger pools. They've got like amazing fitness centers. They did one out at Horn Rapids. They did one up at the top of Westcliff. And so you're getting these community center areas that have fitness center and they have swimming and a place for you to hang out in the summer. Another builder, Titan Homes, for instance, if you look at Columbia Trail, they've got Jericho Ridge up there. Great spot to be because you can walk to Cozy Cup and grab a cup of coffee. You can get to the Chamna Trail. You can jump right on the trail and go to Chamna and walk around the nature preserve. And then you can do wine tasting at the wineries across the street and meet your friends for dinner at Fiction. And once again, you haven't even gotten in your car.
Yeah.
And so you see some of these builders start to really kind of embody this live, work, play type of development. I also saw a great joke, like when I was doing my research for this, there's some great posts on Reddit where they think we should add die. I mean, it's a little satire that they're like, why don't we just do live, work, play, die? You never even have to leave. So they had a few things to say about it. I think that's just because some people feel like this has been over advertised. But really, you got to kind of look at where can we find land and then where can we find a lot of this comes down to zoning. And so the cities are having to change the zoning. Like when you look at like the Falls, for instance, where they went in, that was a commercially zoned piece. And I know they had to go through some zoning changes to get it to more of like a mixed use type development. There's not a lot of mixed use in Tri-Cities.
So now, they'd have to rezone something to allow this.
Correct. And the cities are having to add language and change some of the ordinances they have that allow this to happen together. Because you can't just have a residential zoning or just a commercial zoning and then shove a building into this that works. It doesn't work like that. Like you have to have approvals on multiple fronts to do it. I love seeing these builders and these developers kind of take the next step and bring some of this to Tri-Cities. Now, the thing about this is it's not perfect for everybody. And that's what we're going to talk about after the break, because you look at this and you say, like, okay, there's a lot of positives, Lance, that you just talked about with Live, Work, Play. But what are the negatives to this? And we're going to look at that when we come back from the break. What is the downside to Live, Work, Play? And where? How do we see this playing out in the next 10 years in Tri-Cities?
Right here on News Talk 870.
Our house in the middle of our street.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Well, that was a long break. While we were off air, I think we solved about 9 of the community's problems.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, so...
It's like the Grinch. Solve world hunger. No one.
I will have to... Yeah, I'll have to make a whole nother show about what we were talking about.
Yep.
But we are back, and we were talking about live, work, play. I mean, Tri-Cities is a great spot to do all of those things. Mm-hmm. It's become a mantra for development, and we're kind of breaking down some of the local developments, why you see these signs out there, what it means, and then also we're going to talk about some of the issues involved with it and what people are trying to do. But before we do, I've got some great inventory and some very, very well-priced homes that are just awesome, awesome new inventory to have this time of year. So pick number one, I'm going to take you out to 209 Willow Court in Pasco. This is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1628 square foot Rambler on the first fairway at the Sun Willows Golf Course out there. Open great room, vaulted ceilings, gas fireplace, great kitchen with granite counters, stainless steel appliances, large island. Great living space with an awesome covered patio that looks out to the golf course. It's like having a huge yard that you don't have to take care of. And all of that priced at $430,000. So the next two that I have, if you've thought I can't find a house under $300,000 that's in good shape, I've got two here that are absolutely fantastic. 207 South Date Street. I've got a 4-bedroom, 2-bath, 1,700 square feet, LVP flooring throughout. You've got plenty of natural light, very well done, remodeled. Family room has a masonry fireplace, exposed wood beam details, a bright updated kitchen, and all of this, listen to this price, newer roof as well, for $289,900.
Wow.
And then I'm going to do one more, and I'm going to bring one in under $200,000. 209 South Date Street. This is a 1-bed, 1-bath, great starter home, fully fenced backyard, lots of character, hard surface flooring throughout, wood-wrapped windows, built-in bookcase, cozy kitchen with brick accents, covered back patio, and that's coming priced at $179,900. People are always like, Lance, you can't find a house for that. This is one that you can find and is in good shape for $179,900. So we're back to looking at this concept of live, work, play. We started this originally because we were talking about Clark Hunt and having ownership and having a suite for the upcoming Super Bowl in his home stadium that he can actually live where he works. But I said that there could be some negatives to it. Like, if people look at this concept, what do they not like about it? So the number one thing that I hear from people is a lack of privacy. So in case you haven't noticed, Tri-Cities is a fairly, like, people, it's a fairly private community. Like, mm-hmm. If I'm showing somebody houses and there's like, oh man, that 2-story behind me, they look right into my backyard, or you know, these are the type of things that people will say that they don't like, or the neighbors are too close and we'd like a little more space. Or I moved to this cul-de-sac because I didn't want traffic coming down here. You know, I got that just last week. And so the one thing is, when you're in a live, work, play community and things are a little bit tighter, like things are packed in a little bit more and you got businesses and you are going to run into the same people all the time. And so, and a lot of people love this. Like, I mean, I could name like four people in my office that I'm like, they would think this is the greatest thing on earth.
Okay.
But if you're an introvert, this like might not be the best choice for you. So that's one of the negatives that I hear about live, work, play communities. The second thing that I've got down, and I mean, this might just be a Tri-Cities thing, but people here, like we generally, like people here love their cars.
Yeah.
Like most have too many, probably. I mean, and I'm not saying too many. I mean, that's what I hear people say. You can have as many cars as you want, you know, but a lot of times, like, people will have a second car, and then the kids will turn 16, and then they've got cars, and they've got two kids. And so you've got, like, you know, seven cars. Well, I'll tell you what, like, a live, work, play community that's got commercial built into it and multiple of these units, it's not easy for parking. Like, parking is a premium because you're also trying to put these developments in a place where you can walk to the grocery stores or you can walk to the Coliseum. And so, and in general, I would say activities in Tri-Cities, this is the only why you didn't see this naturally in what a secondary market. Like, the kids of sports are like out at the sports complex in Pasco at track, and I live in Kennewick, and then we've got to go out to Badger South. And so we are still a very drivable community with not a high participation rate in public transportation. And so that is another thing that you see that kind of prohibits development of these type of communities. And then thirdly, that I have down for this is the higher cost, because there's just no way around it. If you're looking at these communities that have a great community center with a pool, and they have a fitness center, and they have a playground. Okay, somebody has to maintain all of that. And there is a cost that comes along with that. That's either going to be in the HOA dues, or it's going to be, you know, it's going to be in the upfront cost that you have. And so it's a balancing act, but there is likely going to be a higher cost to go into a development like that. But when you look around Tri-Cities, you've got some great examples of this. I already talked about, you know, Horn Rapids out there. You've got golf, and you've got, you know, close to Hanford, and now they've put in some community centers, so you didn't have to leave. I think the biggest thing they were lacking, both Horn Rapids and Badger South, is that they were missing a little bit on some of the amenities of that. Because, you know, one of the things is it's harder to get to a grocery store. There's not a real close grocery store to Horn Rapids or Badger South in those situations.
Yeah.
And so it took a little while for these things to kind of get off the ground there. Vista Field has spent a lot of time, money, developments. If you go through their CC&R packages, they're finally starting to break ground on some of the buildings out there. But but Vista Field is trying to be a poster child for this type of development as well. You know, close to the Coliseum, close to events. They've got restaurants and bars that they've announced, you know, that they're trying to do deals with to go in there. You've got studios on lower levels with living quarters above. And so they're it's going to be really interesting to see how that works. But I wouldn't say that it's been a lightning fast start, you know, because this takes a lot of time. And, and if you don't get it right in the beginning, you don't get a chance to get a redo.
Yeah.
So Vista Field's another example of
this.
Looks
really nice what they've done, though.
It's going to be like, and they're sticking to it. Like, I mean, they have not gone out, but you're right. And John, we talked, you know, a little bit off air about like the Performing Arts Center, and a lot of things have been floated around there, and they're really working hard to get it right. Another section of this that comes really close to this is Columbia Point. You know, Columbia Point's pretty close. You've got a mix of condos. You've got different size units out there. You've got the restaurants. You've got the river. Now you've got Winco and the grocery stores and Starbucks. Columbia Point is really a really, really close example of this that's been done right, that people can also, a lot of people that come into town, you know, that are used to this in a more urban environment, I take them to Columbia Point and show them condos and that type of stuff, and they are really impressed with that, especially if they're coming from a bigger city. So we've got a lot of good things going for us here in Tri-Cities with this live, work, play environment. And announcements of more subdivisions and developments coming that I think you're going to see a little bit more of it. It's not for everybody, but it is so nice to start having some of these additional development options, and people that are moving from out of state and from bigger markets are starting to notice. And so if you have any questions about what you heard here today or our thoughts on that, or you're just looking at potentially selling and downsizing to one of these live, work, play markets, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message. We are doing a ton of pre-spring market evaluations right now. Mm-hmm. People are wanting to know, Lance, what can I list the house and sell for? I'm getting ready. We're getting those spring calls right now. I'm getting ready to put the house on the market in March or April. So give us a call, get in the queue, and we'd love to give you an analysis and help you out with that. And we will be right back here next week answering to see if our predictions were correct for the Super Bowl.
You heard it first, right here on News Talk 870.